So, are you gonna move on from this topic today, or is this like some Aeonian thing?
This is the last one today.
Oh, God.
Why, were you bored or something?
No, I actually learned a lot.
Oh, yeah, well, can you tell the body of Christ what you learned?
Oh, yeah. Well, for one thing, I learned that God is, absolutely intangible and unknowable. Apart from a tangible, knowable image, therefore necessitating the creation of said tangible, knowable image.
You refer to the Lord Jesus Christ?
Yeah.
Okay, just checking.
So, can I finish talking about what I learned?
Yeah, that would be great. I wish you would.
Okay. So, the first thing God did, the first freaking thing, was create the image. Because without that, nothing gets noticed. And what's the use of doing anything unless it's noticed?
Yeah, I agree with that. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
I gotcha.
Well, then you're smarter than you look.
Oh, thanks, Bobo.
And then everything after that...
Yes?
...was done through the image.
You're quite clever on that one.
I think so.
Everything was done through the image, so kind of like, all is out of God.
And through Christ.
Yeah. 1 Corinthians 8:6. You plagiarized that completely, Xander. Plagiarized it. Plagiarized it.
Okay, well, we're allowed to plagiarize the scriptures.
Okay, good point. So, why, you're pretty good at this ventriloquist thing. I can't even see your lips moving. Mainly because whenever you talk for me, you turn the camera like that.
Don't give away my secrets.
Yeah, you and your secrets. Let me tell you something, kid. You got too many secrets.
Okay, Bobo, thanks. So, I gotta say, you are the most precocious MZTV subscriber that I have. But you're a very fast learner.
Well, thank you very much. And I would like to say hello to everyone out there. We're over here. Everyone out there in Body of Christ land, I greet you. I would like to be second in line.
For what, the presidency?
No, for the official mascot of the Body of Christ.
Well, you got Charles.
That's why I said second, numbnuts.
MZTV.
The Unveiling. Chapter 22, verse 13. I'm going to read verse 13. And as soon as I read it, you're going to see it. And I'm like, how did I miss this in this whole argument? How could I have made 20 shows and not have seen this verse? But I'm just going to read the verse. You'll see it. I could end the show after I read the verse, really. I'm not going to do that. I can't do it. I like talking to you too much. I can't believe how long yesterday's show went. I'm just talking and talking and commenting on these verses that Gabe sent me. And I looked at the clock on 36 minutes. What? I couldn't believe it. Absolutely couldn't believe it. This show should be shorter, but only God knows what will happen. And probably also the image of God, his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation 22:13. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the origin and the consummation. Boy, if I was him, I would have added at the end, any questions? And then maybe, any doubts? Any arguments otherwise? Well, I want to go down to verse 16 before I comment on 13. This is the same one speaking. It says in verse 16, I, Jesus, send my messenger to testify these things to you in the ecclesias. By the way, this is the final book in the scriptures, the unveiling of Jesus Christ. This is the answer to Genesis. This is the solving of all the problems of Genesis. This is the outcome, really the omega of all the alphas in Genesis. I'm testifying to everyone who is hearing. I, Jesus, send my messenger to testify these things to you in the ecclesias. I am the root and the race of David, the resplendent morning star. I am the root and the race of David. Remember, Matthew 22, verse 44. How is it that you are saying that he's the son of David when David calls him my Lord? The Pharisees saw Jesus Christ only as the race of David, the offspring of David, the son of David. Yet he says, I am David's Lord. I am the one of whom David said, Yahweh is saying to my Lord. And then look at this. He's not only of the race of David, I am the root and the race. I am the root and the race of David. He begat David. And he can only be called the son of David as he is manifested on the earth as a Jew of the tribe of Judah, sent to Israel. Only in that capacity, in that role of one who had emptied himself of his prior glory that he had with the Father before the world was, to take flesh. Only in that capacity was he the offspring of David, of the race of David. Yet here, from his glorified throne, he says he's the root of David. He pre-existed David, just as he pre-existed Abraham. And he stated directly in John that he pre-existed Abraham. That's when they wanted to kill him. They picked up stones, but they missed. Yet here, and then later in Matthew, he simply asks them the question, if I am merely David's son, if the Christ is merely David's offspring, David's son, how can David say, Yahweh said to my Lord? Ooh. He pre-existed David too? Yes. But he didn't announce it so directly there. So they didn't pick up stones. They were simply silenced. They were absolutely silenced when he said that. They had nothing to answer him. And they never approached him on the topic anymore. Because so stunning was it what he said. It's not very stunning when Peter May tells us that Jesus Christ was 0% divine. Not stunning at all. They claim that his faith is stunning, being only a human being and not divine. Talked about that on Monday. If you haven't heard Monday's show concerning the faith of Jesus Christ, stunning new revelations into the faith of Christ, please watch that show again. I love that show. I saw new things about the faith of Christ that I'd never seen before, all because of the accusation that those of us who believe Scripture as to the preexistence of Christ actually amplify his faith, yet we're accused of belittling it. Impossible. So he's not only of the race of David, but he's the root of David and the resplendent morning star. Morning. Dawn. Early. And now we go back to verse 13. The same one speaking in verse 16. I, Jesus. Same one. I, Jesus. Verse 16. I, Jesus, send my messenger to testify. Verse 13. I am the Alpha and the Omega. The first and the last, the origin and the consummation. This cannot be said of God the Father, because he is not, God is not the Alpha and the Omega, because God is timeless. God did not have a beginning. Therefore, of himself, he could never say, I am the Alpha and the Omega. This is Jesus speaking. I am the Alpha and the Omega. The Tories believe he's the Omega. I'm the first and the last. They believe he's the last. I'm the origin and the consummation. They believe that Jesus Christ is the consummation, but they do not believe he is the Alpha, that he's the first, that he is the origin. Yet the same one who finishes everything. And you see, even here he's using a figure of speech. I am the consummation. What do you mean? The consummation is the consummation. It's stuff that happens at the end of the aeonian times. You're you. No, I am the consummation. It's a metaphor. The consummation, he's put for the consummation because he is the one that accomplishes everything that brings about the consummation. So just like he held up the bread and said, this is my body, he says, I am the consummation. But the same one who says, I am the consummation, says, I am the origin. What is the consummation speaking of? The end of the aeonian times. What is the origin speaking of? The beginning of the aeonian times. The beginning of the aeonian times. Not a little embryo in Mary's uterus. For the love of God and Abraham and David. And the Pharisees who said, isn't this the son of Joseph and Mary? How is he saying he predated Abraham? That's exactly what the Tories are saying. Why should it be strange to think that he is the beginning of the aeonian times? Because the eons were created through him. Hebrews 1:3, through whom God created the eons. Let's go to Hebrews 1:3, just because I'm in the mood. By the way, you can read the Concordant version online at concordant.org. That's what I'm doing right now. Go to concordant.org. On the homepage, you'll see read the New Testament for free. You'll also see read the Old Testament for free. It's available online for no cost. Hebrews 1, verses 1 through 3. By many portions and many modes of old, God, speaking to the fathers and the prophets, in the last of these days, speak to us in a Son, whom he appoints enjoyer of the allotment of all, through whom he also makes the eons. God made the eons through Christ. Agrees perfectly with 1 Corinthians 8:6. All is out of God, all is through Christ, who being the effulgence of his glory. That harkens back to what I was telling you concerning the orb in the sky, the sun. We see the effulgence of it. We see the glory of the sun. We don't see the sun itself. Likewise, Christ being the effulgence of his glory, the visibleness of God, and the emblem of his assumption. I could do a whole show on this. God assumes many modes. God shows himself in many different ways. And Christ is the emblem of every single one of those assumptions. This goes along with John 1:1. When God was the rock in the wilderness that gave water, that was Christ, metaphorically speaking. When God was the pillar of fire, it was Christ. When he was the cloud, that was Christ. When he walked with the Hebrew boys in the furnace, that was Christ. God reveals himself in many different ways. That is, he has many different assumptions. But Christ is the emblem. That is, the marking, the visible aspect of every assumption of God. Besides carrying on all by his powerful declaration, making a cleansing of sins, is seated at the right hand of God. Is seated at the right hand of the majesty in the heights. My point is that God created the eons through Christ. This, we find, said another way in the unveiling 22:13. I am the origin and the consummation. You can't believe half of these things. You can't believe he's the consummation without believing he's the origin. You can't believe he's the last without believing he's the first. And Colossians says He's not only the firstborn of all creation, but he's the firstborn from among the dead. He was the firstborn of all creation when God created everything through him, and he was the firstborn from among the dead after he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, coming to be in fashion as a human, humbles himself to the death of the cross, was dead for 3 days. God can't be dead for 3 days. Was dead for 3 days, rose from the dead, and was exalted even higher than he was before he emptied himself. This is part of the reward. I didn't get to this on Monday, but this is the reward of his faith. The reward of doing this outrageous thing that the Father drew out for him to do. The reward is because of that. He has a name higher than every name. Let's go to Philippians 2. And this sublime passage of Scripture describing his emptying. For let this disposition be in you, which is in Christ Jesus also. I'm in chapter 5. I'm in verse 5, chapter 2 of Philippians. Who being inherently, that is belonging to him, in the form of God, deems it not pillaging, that is robbery, to be equal with God. Equality doesn't prove that he's God. In fact, it proves the opposite. We have two sides of every equal sign. Nevertheless, empties himself, taking the form of a slave, coming to be in the likeness of humanity, and being found in fashion as a human, he humbles himself. This is a two-part lowering. First, he empties himself, then he humbles himself. Empties himself of his pre-Bethlehem glory, and then he humbles himself. How does he do that? Becoming obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore? That's where all the faith came in that I talked about Monday. Wherefore? Because of that, God highly exalts him and graces him with the name that is above every name. In the name of Jesus, every knee should be bowing, celestial and terrestrial and subterranean. And this is what God told him would happen. And this is what every single thing he experienced on this earth was a direct denial of such an amazing outcome. The faith it took to be emptied and to be walking through the valley of the shadow of death and to be told that the outcome would be a higher glory than before, a greater glory. And that at your name, every knee will be bowing, celestial, terrestrial, and subterranean. And Jesus said, are you kidding me? God said, no, I'm not. But you have to do this. I have to do what now? You have to do this. And the faith it took to do that. We are not belittling the faith of Christ by making him divine. We are magnifying it. Wherefore also God highly exalts him and graces him with the name that is above every name, that in the name of Jesus every knee should be bowing, celestial, terrestrial, subterranean, and every tongue should be acclaiming that Jesus Christ is Lord. For the glory of God the Father, toward God. The Word of God takes everything toward God. John 1:1. And the Word was toward God. This is for the glory of God the Father. And Jesus Christ gives that glory to God the Father. And God says, thank you, I'll take it. Now I'm going to glorify you. Just like Solomon, what does Solomon ask for? He asked for wisdom. He could have asked for anything on the earth that he wanted, but he asked for wisdom. And God said, thank you, that was a good choice. Now I'm going to give you everything. God says, become obedient even to the death of the cross. Don't ask for anything else right now. And because Jesus Christ acquiesced to his Father's will, God gives him everything, everything. Back to Revelation. I am the Alpha and the Omega. Those are the letters of the Greek alphabet, by the way. Alpha is the first letter of the Greek alphabet. Omega is the last letter. This is also a figure of speech within a figure of speech. I'm a letter of the alphabet? It's not literally a letter of the alphabet. He's connecting with the Greek audience. Oh, yeah, we get it. In case you don't get it, I'm the first and the last. In case you don't get that, how could you not? But in case you don't, I am the origin. I am the origin and the consummation. I don't know how to say anything else about that. Except you can't believe one without believing the other. But I will say this again, that I'm thankful that God has given me personally this opportunity to broadcast this to a lot of people so that they will know that Christ is not only the consummation, but he's the origin, and that all that came into being through him, and that God loved the world. How does God love the world? Like this. He gives his only begotten son, gives him, strips him of his dignities, his glory, his honor, and sends him to this sick planet to show us the love of God, especially from the cross, when from there, from the stake of execution, he says, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Then he said, it is finished. And then he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And there was no more faithful, capable hands than his father's in whom to commit his spirit.